The Bible said in verse number 11 of Luke chapter 17, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to be here at Bible Way, and I pray, God, that each one has already, Lord, received a warm welcome from the saints of God, and more importantly, that from the Spirit of God. God, I pray this morning now that you would clothe us in our calling. God, I thank you for the good Sunday school hour. Pray, God, that you'd bless the preaching service now. Bless the preacher, our Father. God, that we might, Lord, be a blessing. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good to have you with us this morning. Good to have Brother Widener back with us. I think he was with us on a Sunday night a while back. Amen. Good to have you back, brother. And let's pray this morning that God will speak to our hearts. I want to title the message this morning, Where Are the 9? Where are the 9? The Word of God said right here, there were 10 men that were lepers. And there were 10 men that cried out to God for mercy. And there were 10 men that were cleansed. But there was only one that returned, that turned back and gave God the glory and gave Him thanks. I'm kind of in my heart, I know that we're headed into the quote-unquote Thanksgiving season. But I just believe for the believer every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day. I believe with all of my heart we ought to determine every day of our life to be the one and not be part of the 9 that goes away and forgets about the blessings that God has bestowed in our lives. I want to examine this scripture today and just give you some things as the Lord dealt with my heart. Where are the 9? Well, first of all, every one of them was doing right in going to the priest. That's what Jesus told them to do. In the Old Testament economy, that's what they were supposed to do. Amen. And they were obeying the word of the Lord. And they were doing that which they were supposed to do in order to be cleansed. The word of God said, as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus saw. You know, I got to thinking about this. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I can't stand it. Amen. A lot of people get saved before they ever get to the altar. It's as they went. Hallelujah. Amen. God spoke to their heart. They submitted to the Lord. And as they went, hallelujah, business picked up in their heart and in their life. But I want to give you some things this morning. Think about this for just a minute. Jesus said, where are the 9? How many believe Jesus knows everything? He asked this question not for himself, but for us. Amen. When Jesus asked Adam years ago in the garden, he said, where art thou? It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was, that he wanted Adam to know where Adam was. Amen. And God knew exactly where Adam was. So he asked the question. He said, where are the 9? And I want to give you some things that just to think about for just a moment. We're coming upon the holiday season. And I'm going to tell you where a lot of the 9 are going to be, even through this holiday season. And I'm going to tell you why that a lot of people are not going to return, are not going to give thanks, and not going to glorify God the way that they should. Now, first of all, they went to the priest. We know that they did that. They had to do that. This man, before he went to the priest, He just felt it needful when he saw that he was healed to give God the glory. Amen. I'll get into that a little while later. But what happened? I believe they went to the priest then. Now you need to understand something in this message this morning. These were lepers. These were people that had to be separated from their family. People that had to be separated from society. I'll get into it later and tell you a little bit more about it. Had to go down the other side of the street while they cried, unclean, unclean. And so, I believe this morning that many of them, they went to the priest, and the next stop, Brother Ron, they couldn't wait to get to their family. They couldn't wait, amen, to get to their family. And let me say this to you this morning. There's nothing wrong with getting to your family. But I'm going to tell you this morning. There's a lot of people not going to have the Thanksgiving they ought to have and not going to have the Christmas they ought to have because their family is bigger than their Savior. Are you listening to me this morning? Here's one that said, hey, I'm going to fall at the feet of my Savior. I'm going to worship my Savior. I'm going to give my Savior glory. And I tell you something right now, that'll make the family sweeter. Amen. When we put God number one first. So I believe some of them were wanting to get to their family. I believe some of them couldn't wait, not only to get to their family, but to get to their friends. There's some people, they're going to spend a lot of time with their family through the season. They're going to spend a lot of time with their friends through the season, but they're going to find themselves spending very little time with their father through the season. Are you with me? This one said, hey, he said, I'm healed of this leprosy. Leprosy in the Word of God is a type of sin. Amen. Every one of us have been bitten by sin. And some of us have been healed, thank God, through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with having friends. Thank God for them. Nothing wrong with having family. But don't let family, don't let friends come between you and Him. Make sure, amen, that you return. And with a loud voice, glorify the Lord. Some of them were going to have some fun. I believe they went to the priest and some of them were interested in getting to their family. Some of them were interested in getting to their friends. Some of them were just interested in pleasure. Now I can have some pleasure. I've been healed of this leprosy. Amen. I can join in with the crowd now and I can have some fun. To many in Kingsport, Tennessee, all that Christmas is about is another party. All that Thanksgiving's about is some more fun. But thank God I have a father. I don't want to be guilty. Amen. Bypassing my father. Amen. I want to fall at his feet. I want to worship him. I want to thank him for what he's done in my life. Some maybe got on down the road after they saw the priest. And they were looking for a job. Maybe they were going to go to work on their fortune. I thought about this morning. You all may not know this, but I'm working on my second million. Amen. Yes, I am. I gave up on the first one a long time ago. Amen. Glory to God. I believe with all of my heart, there's a lot of people consumed through Thanksgiving and through Christmas. They're consumed with a fortune instead of being consumed with their Father. It set them free from the burden of sin. Think about this. Where are the nine? Jesus knew where they were. Jesus knew exactly where they were. And Jesus said, this man's a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. He was a sinner. And he is a stranger, the Word of God said. Why? Why did he turn back? Why did he glorify God? Why did he fall at his feet? Why did he give him thanks? I want to answer that question this morning. The Word of God said, where are the nine? Let me give you some things this morning. Number one, look at verse number 11. I believe that this man came back because the Bible said it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria. Why should we give God the glory? Why should we not be part of the nine? Why should we be the one that would return? Number one, his presence. Thank God he came to where you and I were. Amen. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Thank God the Bible said Jesus passed through. And thank God you can read over there about Samaria and the woman of Samaria. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. This was a half-breed nation and the Jews hated them. But God knew they needed a Savior. Amen.
I believe with all of my heart we ought to return because of His presence. We ought to thank God for that day when He passed by in our lives. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, the Bible said it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. And He sent messengers before His face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. Let me tell you something right now. Thank God. Listen, I read that passage of Scripture. Jesus has sent some people on ahead into Samaria. These lepers knew that He was coming. Hallelujah. And they were looking for Him. Amen. And when they saw Him, that together they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Thank God we ought to fall at His feet. Thank God we ought to worship Him. Why? Because He came to where we were. And He helped us, amen, with His presence. I couldn't get to Him, so He came to me. Somebody said, "I found the Lord." Somebody else said, "I didn't know He was lost." Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, it's the Lord that found you and the Lord that found me. Thank God the Good Shepherd came looking for that lost sheep. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord, His presence. The Bible said, my friend, that His presence, that ought to be real reason enough to thank Him and praise Him and to fall at His feet and worship Him and give thanks. Amen. Where are the nine? They missed it. They could have been thanking God for His presence. But instead, they were out there, amen, involved in other things. Secondly, I believe you would ask this man, why did you do it? Why did you turn back? Why did you fall down? Why did you give thanks? He would say not only His presence, but he would tell you about his position. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" The Bible said here, look at verse 12. He entered into a certain village. There met him 10 lepers, 10 men that were lepers, which stood. Somebody tell me those next two words. Far off. Now watch this. My friend, not only the presence of the Lord, but look at the position of the leper here. The lepers are far off. You know something this morning? There was a time when you and I were far off. Amen. And thank God the Word of God said we've been made nigh. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ. How? Through the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. And the Word of God says our position changed. Listen to Luke chapter 13 verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. There was a day in my life when I dwelt alone. But thank my God in heaven, there'll never be another day I'll ever be alone. He said, "I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world." There was a time in that position. He was afar off. You and I were afar off. He was alone. That leper would dwell alone. Amen. Out of the camp. The Bible said in Leviticus 13 and verse 45, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean." Here's the picture right here. You've got all y'all people. And if I'm a leper, then I have to stay away. Afar off. I can't get close to you. I have to cover my upper lip. And I have to let you know, this is the law of God. Unclean. 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 Oh, hallelujah. For 27 years, I tell you, my friend, I wasn't saying it with my mouth, but I was saying it with my life, Brother Sam. Unclean. 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 I was a wicked sinner, lost without God, on my way to hell. Unclean. Unclean. But thank God, though I was far off, He came to where I was. Though I owed a debt I could not pay, He paid a debt He did not. So that I can tell you this morning, not with my mouth covered, but uncovered, clean, hallelujah, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been made clean. I have a garment on this morning. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart, when he thought about his presence, it made him want to return. When he thought about his own position, it made him want to return. But notice this morning. Look at verse 13. Let me just give you this morning before I go on. I thought about this. How many's been to the hospital recently? If you go to the hospital, I mean you don't go 20 feet hardly without one of those things where you can get that hand sanitizer. Am I right or am I wrong? You go in the hospital and first thing they got's a poster. Says if you've got a cough, cover your cough. Is that right or is that wrong? In other words, there's an interest in not spreading germs unnecessarily. Amen. When I go in and listen, and you shake hands with people, I believe it's just, my friend, common courtesy to try to be as clean as you can be. If you're sick, don't go to the hospital. Say amen. Them folk in there don't need it. Amen. They got enough trouble. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is, thank God there's some of that little juice that you put on your hands that can kill germs. But I tell you what it can't kill. It can't kill sin. Amen. But thank God there was some juice that run down on an old rugged cross. My friend, it won't just take care of germs, but it'll take care of sin. It'll wash us and make us whole in the blood of the Lamb. Thank the Lord this morning. We ought to take precautions. I'm going to tell you this morning, somebody ought to take some precautions with your soul. Amen. I tell you this morning, you ought to be ready to meet the Lord. We ought to fall down. We ought to give thanks. His presence ought to cause us to want to thank Him. My friend, our position ought to cause us to want to thank Him. But then thirdly, look at His petition. The Bible said here they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, here's His petition. Have mercy on us. How many remembers the parable of the publican and the sinner? The publican said, I thank God that I fast twice in the week. Amen. Or the Pharisee and the publican. Yeah, thank you, brother. Amen. Just praying for me, wasn't you? Amen. Help him, Jesus. Oh, Brother Gale was saying amen. How many remembers that parable? The Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee said, I thank God that I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. And the Word of God, He said, and thank God that I'm not even like this sinner over here. But the Word of God said that that publican would not even so much as turn his eyes toward heaven, but he smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I like what Jesus said. I didn't say it, Jesus did. He said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Aren't you glad when we laid out our petition and we asked God to have mercy? Aren't you glad like the thief on the cross, He came through with mercy and grace in our lives. Amen. He didn't look at us and say, I'm sorry. You've went too far. You've done too much. I can't reach you. Oh no, the grace of God reached further down than we could reach up and saved our never dying soul. His presence and then His petition. But I want you to notice the Lord's power here. The Bible said in verse number 14, when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, and as they went, they were cleansed. How many's glad there's a cleansing agent today? The Bible teaches us, my friend, that there's none other cleansing agent than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible said almost all things are by the law. They're purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Amen. I thank God this morning. Listen, we're living in a modern crowd that wants to tear the blood out of the Bible, wants to tear the blood out of the songbook. But I thank God for the blood that saved my never-died soul. I thank God, my friend, the songwriter, he said it like this, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. I tell you why a lot of people will never get out from under the yoke of sin. It's because they've never gotten under the fountain where the glory runs out. The blood will change your life. It'll change your life. You ever get bathed in the blood? Years ago, I remember hearing them commercials. Tide will get the dirt out. Visine will get the red out. But I thank God only the blood of Jesus will get the sin out. Amen. That's all. It's a miracle cleansing agent. Amen. I thank God for His power. The Bible said, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. You know what the Pharisees thought about Jesus? They said, that's blasphemy. They said, ain't the one that has power to forgive sin. And that's God. You know what I say? Amen. Hallelujah. You'll get that after a while. Amen. He said, I thought it was Jesus. It was. It's God too. Amen. You can't separate them. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glories of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. Thank God this morning. Where are the nine? Have we forgotten about His presence? Have we forgotten about our position, how far off we were? Have we forgotten about His power, how that He cleansed us from our sin? Oh, my friend, this morning, have we forgotten? Look at His proclamation here. I'll move right on in the message. The Bible said here in verse 19, and He said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know something? I'm not going to split hairs with you right here. I'm not going to do it. But I believe with all my heart that those nine missed the blessing. I believe when the Bible said W-H-O-L-E, that this one experienced something that the nine missed out on. I'm going to tell you something right now. People sit in church every Sunday. And they wonder why that feller, or why that woman, why that one over yonder, why that family, being blessed the way they are. Listen to me carefully, amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll tell you why. It's because they don't just live for God on Sunday. God's good on Monday. God's good on Tuesday. God's good on Wednesday. God's good on Thursday. God's good on Friday. God's good on Saturday. And my friend, they walk with God and they talk with God. I can remember the day, hallelujah, when people came in praising Him and they left praising Him. And it ought to be that way for everybody that's been to Calvary. Amen. Thanking Him. What a presence. What a power that the Lord has given you and given me. Listen to the Lord's proclamation. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Have you been made whole? The woman of Samaria said, come see a man. When God makes a proclamation like that, Brother Joe, about you and I ought to be making a proclamation about Him. If God says, go thy way, son, thy faith hath made thee whole, surely, surely to goodness, you and I ought to be saying, hey, come see a man that told me all things, everything I did. It's not this the Christ. That man cutting on himself, dwelling among the tombs, dwelling among dead folk, trying to kill himself, possessed with demons. Jesus came down there where he was. Amen. And the Bible said he met Jesus. They found him sitting at the feet of Jesus. They found him clothed. And they found him in his right mind. You see what he was doing? He was giving thanks, wasn't he? He was glorifying God. He was glad for the Master's work in his life. But I'll tell you this morning. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no. Here's what's needful. I need you to go home. I need you to tell your friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee. I say this morning, my friend, if God has made a proclamation about you and I, we ought to be making a proclamation about Him. Telling others how good and how great our God is. Amen. Thank the Lord this morning. Think about that. Think about that. Why? What'll keep us out of the nine? I tell you what. His presence. Realize where He found us. Realize what He's done for us. Realize when we cried out to God that He saved our never dying soul. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. More some people receive from the Lord. If we receive much, it's even more shameful for us to live in a spirit of ingratitude towards Him and unthankfulness. Unthankfulness is a mark of the end times. Amen. I tell you, we ought to be thanking Him. We ought to be praising Him. Jesus said, where are the nine? He knows. He knows. And He knows where you and I are this morning. I want to give you a thought this morning. I read this and it blessed my heart. I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. It said in one church, a certain pastor, or a certain person provided the pastor with a rose boutonniere for his lapel every Sunday. At first, the pastor really appreciated it. This goes back to Wednesday night, don't it? Listen. At first, the pastor really appreciated it, but then it sort of became routine. That's the danger. Say amen. If church ever gets to be routine, then I'll stop thanking God the way I ought to. If you all, if I ever just get used to you and accustomed to you and forget to thank God for you. Amen? We'll get in a rut. You know what a rut is? It ain't nothing but a grave with both ends kicked out. Dead. Amen? Twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. There's that danger when we become unthankful. Listen to what he said. It sort of became routine. Then one Sunday, it became very special. As he was leaving the Sunday service, a young boy walked up to him and said, sir, what are you going to do with that flower? That is flower, Brother Brian. Not flyer, but flower. Amen. I love him to death. Amen. Can't help it. Amen. What are you going to do with that flower? At first, the preacher didn't know what the boy was talking about. And when it sank in, he pointed to the rose on his lapel. And he asked the boy, do you mean this? The boy said, yes, sir. If you're just going to throw it away, I'd like to have it. The preacher smiled and told him that he could have the flower. And then he casually asked what he was going to do with it. The boy, who was probably no more than 10 years old, he looked up at the preacher and said, sir, I'm going to give it to my granny. My mother and father divorced last year. I was living with my mother, but she married again and wanted me to live with my father. I lived with him for a while, but he said I couldn't stay. So he sent me to live with my grandmother. She's so good to me. She cooks for me, takes care of me. She has been so good to me that I want to give her that pretty flower for loving me. When the little boy finished, the preacher could hardly speak. His eyes filled with tears, and he knew that he had been touched by God. He reached up and unpinned the rose. With the flower in his hand, he looked at the boy and said, son, that is the nicest thing I've ever heard, but you can't have this flower because it's not enough. If you'll look in front of the pulpit, he said, you'll see a big bouquet of flowers. Different families buy them for the church each week. Please take those flowers to your granny because she deserves the very best. Then the boy made one last statement, which the reverend said always he will treasure. The boy said, what a wonderful day. I asked for one flower, but I got a whole bouquet. Glory to God. I tell you this morning, you and I that got saved by the grace of God, we just asked for one flower. But you start thinking about what He gave you and what He gave me. And glory, we can say, hallelujah, He's good. I got a roof over my head. That's part of a bouquet. Brother Dan, we got light jackets on this morning. That's just part of the bouquet. I got socks on that have heels and toes in them. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You say, preacher, you oughtn't be thankful for socks. You ought to go barefooted in the winter a while. And maybe you'd be thankful for socks. I tell you this morning, we ought to be thanking God for our families. We ought to be thanking God for a church. We ought to be thanking God for a Savior. We ought to be thanking God for our Bible. We ought to be thanking God for our car. We ought to be thanking God for our home. We ought to be thanking God for the bouquet that He's placed in our lives. All we asked Him to do was save us. You know what He done? So much more. Brother Allen, I just asked Him to save me. And he done went and get any friends like you. I just asked him to save me. And I've never been hungry since I asked him to save me. I just asked him to save me. And I tell you, he's met my every need since he saved me. I thank my God this morning. You know something this morning? Somebody would shout, if you'd just get one flower out. But if you dive into that whole bouquet, we'd catch you down there to Light and Bloomingdale somewhere, amen? If you get to thinking about the goodness of God, hey, where are the nine? Where are the people that realize? Brother Kyle, you want to know what made it so special to this Samaritan? He didn't feel like he deserved it. Everybody I've studied after believed that those other nine, Brother Gary, were Jews. And they felt like they had it coming to them. I'll tell you what we had coming to us, church. A place in hell. That's all in the world we had coming to us. And everything else is mercy. Everything else is grace. Everything else is the love of God. Everything else. I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus asking this question. Where are the nine? And find myself included in the nine that take for granted the blessings. They're teenagers this morning. I love these teenagers, don't you? Teenagers this morning. Some of them's got parents that are real strict. Can you imagine that? And there's some of them right now might wish they had a different parent. But I tell you what, they'll grow up one day and they'll thank God for the ones they got. I can remember when I was a teenager, my first cousin painted his bedroom black, put up rock and roll posters, strobe lights. You go in there, man, and I mean, you couldn't hardly stand up. It would knock you out. I mean, it was wild. And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, I want to paint my bedroom black. He said, don't think so, son. I said, Dad, I want to put up some posters. He said, don't think so, son. I thought my dad hated me, Brother Gale. I said, Dad, you're just not cool. You're just not with it. Amen. You say, did you say that to your dad? No. I said that in my heart. You didn't say things like that to my dad. You see, I still got my natural teeth. Amen. You start saying stuff like that to my dad and you'd be looking for dentures soon. Amen. I'm telling you, back then I thought things that Dad was just keeping me from that which was good. See, a lot of people think that about God. They think God's setting up in heaven. He's made all these rules and these guidelines in the Bible because He just don't want us to have any fun. No, He wants us to have a ball. He wants us to have life abundantly, full of joy, without the scars of sin. I tell you this morning, where are the nine? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? And you said to the Lord, Lord, I'd just like to thank you for saving my soul. There are men here in this room this morning that God has put you in the ministry. How long has it been since you bowed your knee and said, God, I don't know how you could ever use the likes of me. But thank you for putting me in the ministry. God, I don't know why you did it, but thank you for putting me in. There are people that have a wonderful gift to teach. How long has it been since you've thanked God for saying, God, you look down and out of all the men, all the ladies, you let me be a teacher of thy word. You let me have an influence on others for the glory of God. I just want to thank you. How long has it been? How long has it been since you thanked God for our church? How long has it been since you thank God for your Bible? How long has it been since you thank God for the privilege to pray for your spouse, for your children? How long has it been since you thank God for your country? I'm telling you, this country is sick. I'm telling you, this country's headed in the wrong direction. But I'm telling you this, it's still the greatest nation on the face of this earth. And we ought to thank God that we live in America. If you've been to Mexico, pallets stood up against one another, 10 laid across the top of it, and that's where people live. I'm telling you, my barn, I have a barn and a building and a house. My barn, the little old barn that was there when I bought the house, that barn is more than what a lot of people live in on this planet. I'll tell you where we're at. We're at a place in society where if we're not careful, you'll find people in a shack giving more thanks than people that live in a fine home. God help us this morning. Jesus said, "Where are the nine?" I'll say this to you, church. We've got some folk in our church, Brother Charles. He ain't been here in over a month, has he, Sister Flora? Brother John. We've got some folk in our church that are really going through some battles. And all I can wonder as pastor is who's next. You say, "Preacher, why would you say that?" Here's why I'd say it. Praise Him while you can. Praise Him, Brother Houston, while you can still get down here. Amen. Praise Him. Praise Him while we can still have enough strength, Brother Ralph. Even if we have to hold it, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. He's worthy of praise this morning. He's worthy. Where are the nine? There's one. He was a Samaritan. A half-breed. He didn't think he deserved anything. He was just glad that Jesus didn't look at him and say, "Nine of you go to the priest. Sorry, buddy." He was glad that He included him. How many's glad He included you? He included you. He included your family. God help us this morning not to be part of the nine, but to be that one. Say, "God, if You'll give me grace." How many'd like to see God show up on this hill? I mean, show up and show out. God show out. God show up. I tell you what invites His presence. Thanksgiving. You just start thanking Him and you watch His presence swell up in your heart and in your life. Brother Grissel, there have been times in my life when I have griped because the steak wasn't the way I thought it ought to have been. If a man pays $14 or $15 or $18 for a steak, and it's got more gristle in it, how many knows what I'm talking about? There have been times in my life when I complained. Most of the time, I'm not bad to do it with my mouth. God's given me enough self-control. Most of the time, it's just going on in my spirit. How many knows what I'm talking about? I ain't going to sit there and open my mouth most of the time. I ain't going to say nothing to the waitress. I ain't going to say nothing to the cook. I'm just going to gnaw on some of it and spit some of it out. Gnaw on some more of it and spit some more of it out. Amen. You say, "Preacher, why are you talking like that?" Because see, my fellowship wasn't what it should have been, or I wouldn't have been griping in my spirit. Brother Wayne, when my fellowship is the way it's supposed to be, I can look down at a peanut butter cracker and have me a spell. Because I've got a peanut butter cracker. And then I'm going to have me an extra spell if I've got me a half a glass of milk to go with it. I'm telling you, that's what a thankful spirit will do. It'll keep us out of that mully grubs. Amen? And make us thankful. Instead of griping because the tire went flat, you can get out and shout because three of them still got air in them. Hallelujah. Amen. We ought to be thankful. God help us. God help us to be a thankful. Where are the nine? Did you know Jesus knew where they were? And Jesus knows where we are. He knows where we are, Brother Widener. He knows how long it's been. I just want to encourage you to fellowship with Him. Thank Him. Somebody may need to come in this altar this morning and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Been murmuring in my spirit. Some people are dreading the holidays for different reasons. Some people, it's hard. I know it's hard. But I tell you what, if you'll just make Him the central point. You say, preacher, I've lost a loved one. I know. But because of Him, you'll get to see Him again. Amen. Just make Him the central focus. And it'll be all right. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God. Jesus, You asked the question, where are the nine? Help us, our Father, this morning. Please help us not to take for granted Your blessings, not to take for granted Your power, the deliverance, our Lord, that You've given us in our heart and in our life. I pray this morning, Lord, that You would just, Lord, some way or another, help us not to be part of the nine that never return. Not to be part of the nine that never give thanks. Help us to be like that Samaritan that returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Lord, I pray this morning You'd help us.